This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Thursday. And Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday. And I'm going to get back to those in a moment. I'm going to talk about this Amy Coney Barrett and her sister and what's happening there. Also, let's once again celebrate, just like we did in the first hour, possibly the end of the fighting, with these words from Vladimir Putin really speaking to my heart.
Который намечен на сентябрь текущего года. Такое творческое состязание талантливых исполнителей было очень популярно.
Absolutely. I agree. I totally agree. All right, quit. Focus. So, Amy Coney Barrett, you obviously know who she is. Donald Trump's Supreme Court justice, one of the ones he put on during his first 4 years, and the one that has been the biggest colossal disappointment. Kavanaugh is awful lots of the time, too. Gorsuch has actually been quite solid. He's screwed a couple things up, but quite solid. Amy Coney Barrett looks like she's going to be yet another lifetime Republican disappointment. Over and over and over again, siding with the communists against us. And I'm not going to appeal to Amy Coney Barrett's principles or anything like that right now, but I'm going to point something out to her and her people, because somebody in her orbit is undoubtedly listening. There's a story, a terrible, terrible story from CNN, that Amy Coney Barrett's sister, who lives apparently in South Carolina, one of the communists called in a bomb threat to her mailbox, said that they had constructed a pipe bomb. It was very, very political, in case you're wondering. They put a bunch of political threats and things like that in there. Amy Coney Barrett. So why does this happen? Why does this happen to Amy Coney Barrett? Why, remember when all those Supreme Court protests were ramping up? Why did they focus so much on Brett Kavanaugh to the point they even sent an assassin from California to come kill Brett Kavanaugh? Okay. Why do the communists go after when they really need a critical vote on something, a yes vote or a no vote? Why do they go after people like Jeff Flake? You remember Jeff Flake? Maybe you forget, unless you've been following politics for a while. In case you've forgotten, Jeff Flake was a United States Senator from Arizona. I knew him when he was a congressman from Arizona. We hate each other. So I should go ahead and full disclosure. He's all the low-T GOP that I despise, and I've always been this way, and he's always been that way. So we've always disliked each other. When I was running for Congress, we hated each other. He then moved on to become a United States Senator. And as a United States Senator, he was one of these, well, we're better than that, guys. He was one of those dorks. But what did that get him? How much did that earn him? Speaking of Brett Kavanaugh, do you remember the Brett Kavanaugh trial? Well, trial. Do you remember the confirmation hearings where they called him a gang rapist? As many problems as I have with Brett Kavanaugh, he's just a dork and really kind of a goody two shoes guy, like the kind of guy you'd probably want your son to grow up and be, although with a bit more testosterone. And yet they made the guy out to be a career gang rapist. Who did the communists focus their anger towards? Was it Rand Paul? Do you remember the communists following Rand Paul around, screaming at him? It's weird. I don't remember that. I do this for a living. Do you remember the communists following around Ted Cruz? Mike Lee, great one. Do you remember the communists following around Mike Lee, screaming in his face. You don't remember that. You know why you don't remember that? Because it hardly ever happens. But why? Because communists remember the predators. Where do predators, where do they look for the easy prey? With the weak and the sick. Have you ever seen a nature video? That pride of lions? Oh yeah, they got the whole group of Cape Buffalo on the run. But what's the one they go after? The one with the hurt leg who can't quite keep up. Or the baby who's not quite big enough to turn around and stomp one of them to death. Communists are the exact same way because they think in the exact same way a violent, hungry animal thinks. They will go after the weak. And you, Amy Coney Barrett, you may think that you will somehow win these people over. Remember what Josh Hammer told us? I think it was a couple days ago. We brought Josh Hammer on, and he said she's best friends with, I think it's Elena Kagan. Elena Kagan, one of the dirty communists on there, has gotten super close with Amy Coney Barrett. And I'm positive they've talked over a glass of vino about how, you know, she just doesn't have to be right-wing all the time. If she's just a little bit left on this key vote or that key vote, then she's going to get in there with the D.C. cocktail party scene. And then she doesn't have to be one of the big, big meanie types. She doesn't have to be extreme. And if she's not extreme, she'll be more accepted. If everything will work out, Amy, just moderate a little bit. But that's not how the communist thinks at all. You know what the communist sees when they see Amy Coney Barrett throw a vote here, throw a vote there? Prey. That's what the communist sees. You notice the most extreme, if we have to use their language, I would say the most reliable fighters for liberty on the Supreme Court, Clarence Thomas, Sam Alito. Oh, the left hates them, no doubt. But you notice how they're not trying to assassinate them. That's odd, isn't it? Do you know why? Because it would get you nowhere with Clarence Thomas. He would laugh in your stupid face and still go vote the right way. This is not just a lesson for Amy Coney Barrett. I'm glad her sister's okay. I hope nobody gets hurt. This isn't just a lesson for anybody on the Supreme Court. It's not just a lesson for anyone in the Senate or the House. This is a lesson for you, me, and everybody on the right. The communist is not now and will never be your friend. He does not now and will never share your goals at all. He wants to burn and destroy. That is his only goal. If he can act like he's your friend to get that done, he will do so. If he has to murder you to get that done, he will do that as well. They murder people all the time. That's how communists operate. They murder, assault, intimidate, threaten. That's how they operate. Whatever he has to do, he will do because his only loyalty is to the revolution. It is not to you. And I know it can be so tempting. And I've been at these parties. I lived in D.C. for a year. It can be so tempting when you go out with your wife on a Friday night and you meet a whole group of people. Let's say there's a party, an event at this bar and grill. And you go out and you have some mozzarella sticks, which are delicious. And then you guys have a couple cocktails. And there's a bunch of Democrats. It's so tempting in that season, in that setting. It is so incredibly tempting, especially if you're a people pleaser type, to just kind of moderate a little, because they're going to try to get you to, hey, you're not one of the extreme ones, right? Oh, you vote Republican, but you're not a like close the border one, right? It's so tempting, and they make it sound so tempting. Don't you want to be part of our group? Don't you want me to think that you're a good person? Well, if that's what you want, then all you have to do is just sacrifice this value and that value. Look, we're going to welcome you in as long as you're not one of the, icky extreme ones. And they've learned over the years how to speak that language to people on the right. And it's not just that it works on, maybe this is speaking to your heart. Maybe this is you. Maybe you're a people pleaser. Women are uniquely susceptible to this because women are just generally nicer and more seeking of society's acceptance than men are. Maybe this is speaking to you. Maybe you're thinking, oh, that's me. Oh, I just did that last week. It's understandable. The communist has learned how to use that, how to use your values against you. This applies to you. It applies to Senator Flake, who's no longer a senator. It applies to Amy Coney Barrett. It applies to anybody on the right. The communist is not your friend. And no matter what you do, no matter how nice you are, no matter how much you moderate, he will never, ever, 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 ever be your friend. And the second you do break down, you may think you're going to get his acceptance or his respect or things will be peaceful. But the second you do break down, you become the wounded gazelle on the prairie, on the safari, and the lions are licking their chops as they bear down on you. Amy Coney Barrett, I have all the sympathy in the world for yourself, your sister. I hope whoever this violent commie scumbag is goes to prison for the rest of his life. But just a little word of advice, if you would like these kind of threats to stop, you won't get weaker, you will get stronger. Just some advice. Do with that what you will. Here's some other advice. You don't have to live with pain. Everyone thinks they do. Because we think that just comes with getting older. And I realize the body breaking down in various uncomfortable ways, that is part of getting older. And so when our knee starts to hurt and we can't, oh man, I can't really run anymore. My knee hurts. I don't get to play racquetball anymore. I don't get to, but when I work construction now, I just know my elbow's going to hurt by lunchtime. We accept these things, but we should not. Not with relief factor there. It's 100% drug-free. I love that. You know I love that. It's a supplement. It's developed by doctors, but it's a supplement. You take it every single day. It builds up in your body over time, and it reduces. It helps support your body's reduction of the inflammation. Your body's trying to get rid of the inflammation. It just needs a little help. You don't have to take my word for it. I hope you don't. Try it for 3 weeks. $19.95. 3 weeks of it. Just see if it works. 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Thursday. Do not forget, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. A reminder, I'm gone tomorrow. It's not my fault, so do not scream at me. I'll be back on Monday for Medal of Honor Monday. If I have time this weekend, and I may not, I will try to knock out enough prep to throw in another history story next week like we did the Crimean War this week. No promises on that, so don't take that as a promise. If you'd like to learn about the Crimean War and missed the earlier shows this week, we divided up by the day. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Go download the podcast. Dear T-Rex hands, you seem to really like the French army. Could it be you had the same size as the limp-wristed Frenchman? You know, that's not very nice. Great story about the Crimean War. I'm a big fan of military history. Please, Kelly, keep telling these stories. Well, I guess maybe part of me does admire the French a lot. And so let me explain a little bit. I understand the French are very easy targets. So let's start from the back end, actually. Why do the French have such a dreadful, dreadful military reputation? To this day, they're a punchline, really globally. Oh, like the French army. Fold like the French army. Why? What happened? In World War II, the Battle of France, you already know the story. Adolf Hitler was spreading his conquest, and Adolf Hitler, because of World War I, because of how they were jobbed after World War I, really had a hate on for France. And, you know, Germany lost a lot of its territory, its European territory. It lost a lot of it to France at the Treaty of Versailles, the Treaty of Versailles being the end of World War I, and it lost some of the choicest parts of its territory to France. Now, don't dismiss that. So let me put it in these terms. Think about all the industry from California and Texas alone. California, Texas. California, economically, is the fifth largest economy in the world, if it was its own country. California, don't care if you dog on it, it's fine, whatever, its politics are insane. California is huge for the economy of the United States of America. It's a big deal. It affects everything. And then Texas, too. Same thing. Enormous. Oil fields, everything. Imagine if we fought a war against Mexico and lost. I know. But still. Imagine if we fought a war against Mexico and lost. And they walked in for the treaty and they said...
Buenas tardes.
And then they said, by the way, California is ours. Texas is ours. That would hurt us badly as a country. And think what it would be like. Mexican cities going up all over the place. It'd be hard. It'd be hard to watch. Well, Hitler hated France. He decides to invade France. Battle of France. His generals hated the idea. Most of his generals thought it was an insane idea. And on paper, this is part of the reason the French reputation militarily is so bad. On paper, France should have won that. And his generals knew it. Do you know that? They had more armor. They had better stuff. They were the larger land force. They were just better. If you're looking at it side by side on paper, the German army should not have won that. And France was defending. It's always easy to defend rather than invade. It's always easier. You're on your home turf. You don't have to mobilize. You're familiar. It's just better. Germany had an excellent plan. They did. They had an excellent plan. They famously carved through the forest where France didn't think they were going to come. Germany went around these huge French fortifications, the Maginot Line, it's known as. They went around these huge fortifications instead of going through them, blew through the forest. France woke up one day, and the German army was past all their defenses and bearing down on them. And this is a country that lost a quarter of its men in World War I. A quarter. This is a country that had, 20 years earlier, actually, been wiped out. Wiped out. And they collapsed. And I'm not defending the collapse. I'm not. You would like to have seen them dig in, fight back, fight to the last man. I get all that. I get all that. But before that, I mean, just the beginning of France, the Franks and all these people there, they were carving out a nation against some of the most vicious fighters in the world. Vikings. There are stories of French heroism fighting against Viking longboats sailing up the scene. The French fighting against this barbarian group and that barbarian group. And then after they do that, the French gather up this really, really impressive country. And they fought some amazing military campaigns. Napoleon, if he hadn't made the same mistake everyone else seems to make, and invaded Russia, Napoleon was beating the living crap out of everybody. In World War I, the French were lions. Lions in World War I. They took more punches to the chin than can be reasonably expected of anybody. And yes, by the end, they were wobbly. I get that. But they kept punching back. And I know they had a lot of help from the Brits, and that eventually we can't. I get it, but French history, military history, it's actually very, very impressive. It's very impressive. But you're oftentimes, just like life, just like all of us, you're oftentimes defined by your worst moment, your worst failure. You know, you could do all the good in the world, and you do a bunch of cocaine and wrap your car around a tree one night. That's what you're known for, right? And that's what the French army's known for. So I guess, yes, in a way, I do have a soft spot for the French. I do. Maybe that's why I'm wearing this wonderful hat today, Chris. What is your problem? Maybe the French army wouldn't have collapsed if chalk had been around back then. Maybe that's all that was missing. Maybe the estrogen levels in France were through the roof, and what they needed wasn't more tanks and bullets and soldiers. What they needed were male vitality stacks for the entire French army, giving them a 20% boost in their testosterone in 90 days, which is pretty much more time than it took the entire country to collapse on itself. CHOQ.com. I realized the website didn't exist back then because there wasn't an internet, but CHOQ.com could have saved the French army, maybe saved the world from having to fight World War II. CHOQ can save the world and save you and give you energy and have you feeling good and have your T levels through the roof. That sound good? CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse, gets you a huge discount on subscriptions. Go. Don't be French. We'll be back. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Thursday. We'll get back to the Ask Dr. Jesse questions, NATO, here in just a second. I have something, though, that may turn out to be an opportunity, a money-making opportunity for you. Only one of you, though, so just a heads up. No, Chris, you were banned from this. Yes, it's the app, Chris. Okay, don't get ahead of me. So I have an idea, and I'll explain where this idea came from. At the same time, I will explain how and why I woke my sister up at 4 a.m. the other morning. Just stay with me here. My sister Mickey and I are close. I love her. And the Kellys, I hope you don't think it's just me who's obsessed with food. I got that honestly from my father. My dad could tell you the thing he ate that was good in every city he ever went to in his entire life, and he would remember it his whole life, so much so that I would call my dad if I had to go somewhere for work, and I'd say, Dad, where do I eat here? And he would tell you, oh, go down to Ida's Diner and make sure you get the chicken fried steak. I had that back in 1984. And like, he would know. He would know. I get it, honestly. Yes, I understand I have an unhealthy obsession with food. I get it. I got it, honestly. And so did my sister. It's funny because we're both skinny, but she's the same way, exact same way, obsessed with food. And so we send each other food things when we see them. Hey, here's a recipe you can try. Hey, did you see this dish at this restaurant? You should try it. Now, I know Chris and Corey and you, everyone likes to make fun of me because I don't know anything about technology and I'm not very good at it. I admit that. All right, I know, I just don't. I've decided that I'm done advancing. As much as I know now is as much as I want to know. I got it. I'm happy man just the way I am. Instagram. You know what Instagram is? It's a social media app. It's an app where you look at pictures and videos of whatever. If you look at mine, it's all food and animal fights. That's what it is. I have some historical things like castles and bunkers. But people can send you private messages of look at this picture of this or look at this video of this. Mickey and I will see food videos and we'll send them to each other or food pictures or recipes on Instagram. This was yesterday morning, I believe. I couldn't sleep anymore. I woke up at 4 a.m., 4:30 my time. I just couldn't get back to bed. I didn't want to wake Ob up. So I got up, went out, started browsing through my phone, trying to look at the news of the day and look at everything else. And I open up Instagram. I see I have a message from Mickey. I open up the message. She had sent me a video of some restaurant that served a bacon chorizo cheeseburger. Sorry, Chris. It looked amazing. I'll send you the video afterwards. Hey, Corey, we should order these in front of Chris. Daggone right. Anyway, a bacon chorizo cheeseburger. I admit I watched it a couple times. Then I tried to close out of the video. And apparently Instagram, if you press a button or something, you will try to video call the person who sent you the message. I think it was 4 a.m. on Mickey's time when I opened this thing up and my phone starts trying to video call her. Not only that, you know how I don't know technology? I don't know how to stop it. So it's just sitting there ringing and I'm hammering my phone. I'm pressing buttons. I'm getting up to, oh no. I finally just close it all out. Mickey obviously was sound asleep. wakes up to her phone ringing and panics, as you would. Why is Jesse calling me at 4 a.m.? Something disastrous may have happened. She called back. I had woken her up, whatever. Anyway, that led me to this. Because what she sent me, the bacon chorizo cheeseburger, was actually in Carmel by the Sea, a place in California. I believe that's the name of the town, Carmel by the Sea. I've never been there. I've heard it's beautiful. And what I thought to myself was, I don't know if I'll ever visit Carmel by the Sea. It looks very nice, but it's far and I'm sure it's expensive and whatnot. I don't know if I'll ever be there. But if I ever do go there one day, it's not going to be soon. I'm never going to remember the bacon chorizo cheeseburger at this place. And I don't remember the name of the place that I would want to go to. So let's say it's 5-10 years from now and I go to Carmel by the Sea. I'm not going to remember the bacon chorizo cheeseburger. And that is criminal. Here's the app idea. And it may already exist. If it does, someone that sent it to me. If it doesn't, someone create it and make a bunch of money. I want an app for my phone. It's very, very, very simple. I want an app on my phone where when I see a video like that, I can beep, 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 beep. That's the sound phones make. Beep, 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 beep. I can put in that restaurant, that dish in that restaurant. I can put it into the phone. And then my phone, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, when I fly into town or drive into town, will beep, let me know, hey, this is where the bacon chorizo burger is. Go down to this restaurant. I want my phone to notify me of this. And not just towns. I want to do it for, like, I live in the Houston area, but I don't live Houston proper. I would never do that. I don't want to get shot, and I don't live in blue areas. I have to go up there on occasion for things. I will do it town specific as well. Hey, you're one block away from that chicken wing place you saw. Just a heads up. Why are you shaking your head, Chris? Is this not $1 million idea? I think, what? What if the restaurant closed? What if the restaurant stopped serving it? Chris, why do you always have to be glasses half empty? Okay. I like to be glasses half full. You know me. I'm a sunny human being. And these restaurants are not restaurants that will close, Chris, because they serve things like bacon chorizo burgers. You know what this is? This is religious jealousy because you can't eat it. That's what this is. You know what, Chris? Follow the traditions of your people, and I'll follow the traditions of my people without any jealousy whatsoever. In the meantime, Corey and I will be eating bacon chorizo burgers if we happen to visit Carmel by the Sea, or Carmel, I don't know if that's actually the name of the town, but I think that's the name of the town. Tell me that's not a great idea. Jesse, to my understanding, the contract NATO nations have signed onto requires so much of each nation's GDP to be spent on defense. It also requires a mutual defense pact. The question I have is this: are we still obligated to defend nations who broke the contract by not meeting their defense spending? In business, a contract must be fulfilled to the letter to be valid. So France, Germany, etc. shouldn't expect aid from us since they're not meeting their obligations. That's from Brian. And Brian is 100% correct about all of it. NATO, being a member of NATO, comes with certain rules. Now, because life is unfair and, you know, you're not going to hold Belgium to the same rules you hold France to. There are going to be different rules. So they decided to do the rules percentage-wise for the European countries. You have to make a certain percentage of your GDP into military things. They don't do it. And no American president besides Trump has made them do it. And that's why these European countries get to be these quasi-socialist countries that hand out all these free government goodies. You get to do that when you don't have to invest in national defense. It frees up huge. Have you ever looked at our budget? Ever seen a pie chart of our budget? Go look at the American budget pie chart and look at what the military costs. It's costly to maintain and develop a state-of-the-art military that can compete and defend your country. If you're a NATO country, you don't have to do that because of the United States of America. And that is what has bothered me and what I ranted about when Britain and France started to get belligerent after that disastrous Zelensky meeting. Well, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And apparently we're going to fight on without America. That's, you heard me scream about it. Don't you think you're just going to run your mouth and get us into some hot war with Russia and then turn around and say, hey, America, Article 5, come protect me. No, sir. No, sir. Let's move on. Let's talk about other things. Let's talk a little bit about tariffs. Someone wants to question about that. Someone wants a question. Someone wants an answer to that. I want an answer to why we haven't been able to defeat abortion yet in this country. But the sad part, and this is so unbelievably sad, Roe versus Wade gets overturned. And we think to ourselves, wow, we did it. But we didn't do anything at all. I'm glad it happened. But because of the abortion pill, in the ease with which you can get your hands on an abortion pill, we have as many abortions now as ever. We need preborn. We need you. These young women, we have to change their hearts. We have to change the culture and turn it into a pro-life culture. And we do that by introducing a woman to her baby through ultrasound. The gift of ultrasound. When she lays down and hears that heartbeat, she will choose life. And that's what preborn does. They give these women free ultrasounds. $28. For $28, you get to buy a life tonight. Preborn.com/Jesse is where you give. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Thursday. Don't forget, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Again, it's so wonderful to hear things like this.
Который намечен на сентябрь текущего года. Такое творческое состязание талантливых исполнителей было очень популярно в 70-е.
No, I'm kidding, of course. That's Vladimir Putin. I know you can't understand it, but I am a cunning linguist. Here's what he said.
We agree
with the propositions to stop hostilities, but we proceed from the fact that such ceasefire should be...
Okay, Russia basically said, yeah, I mean, we kind of agree to a ceasefire as long as this ceasefire is going to be a long-term thing. That's that, you know, everyone's negotiating now. Whatever. It's a good thing. People stop dying. Let's continue on with some politics, shall we? Dear fellow Menu Whisperer, the subject of this one was, shouldn't the left love tariffs? I would think since the left love taxes, they would love tariffs. Is it possible that these commie-run countries are pretending to hate tariffs for political gains while secretly loving them? Where's the Howard Dean scream? Okay. So let's talk about, shouldn't the left love tariffs because they love taxes? Okay. You've heard people talk before. You've heard me talk before about the friend-enemy distinction the communists operate under. But that's almost gets kind of too... You almost sound like a college professor when you say things like that. So let me explain it better this way. The communists, they are excellent at creating idols. We've had this discussion before. Idols you should worship, idols you should throw tomatoes at. And they will create them in the drop of a hat. At the drop of a hat. The best example I can think of for an idol they will demand you worship is George Floyd. It's hilarious when you think about how ridiculous that is. A career criminal drug addict. He dies of an overdose in an ugly-looking police encounter. And 24, 48 hours later, the communist propaganda machine turns into overdrive, and it became a source of, you know, a dividing line in society. Hey, you support George Floyd, right? You support George Floyd? Look, we're building a George Floyd statue. Here's another George Floyd memorial. Worship, worship, worship. Worship George Floyd. They will hold something up in front of you and say, look here, worship, worship. And it works the opposite way, too. They do this so well where they create a devil for you to throw tomatoes at, an idol you're supposed to hate. And they will get your eyes fixated on it and say, this is the source of all your problems. See this? This guy? This thing? These are your problems. And they'll do this at the drop of a hat. I mentioned it earlier, so I might as well bring it up. Brett Kavanaugh. They had every Democrat in the United States of America take this lifelong goober dork who's kind of a goody two-shoes. They had every Democrat in the country thinking he was an alcoholic gang rapist like that overnight. Look, hate him, hate him, hate him, Kavanaugh, hate him. This is your guy. This is your enemy. And they have the ability to do this in a way the right does not have the ability to do this, because the communist is a herd animal. The herd goes wherever they are directed. So that it gives them a freedom to create these things that you and I don't have. So let's talk about Donald Trump. Because this has been going on for years and years and years and years and years. And it's happened to such a degree that the people who push the lies either now believe it themselves or they can't escape from those lies. We'll use Chuck Schumer as actually a very good example of this. Chuck Schumer is a United States senator from the state of New York. Donald Trump was a registered Democrat in the state of New York. Donald Trump has had positive dealings with Chuck Schumer many, many times in his life before Donald Trump chose to get into politics. But Donald Trump decides to run as a Republican. And Donald Trump starts to say things that even other Republicans weren't saying. Oh, Mexico isn't sending their best and things like that. Chuck Schumer, an elected Democrat, does the elected Democrat thing. Oh my gosh, look at Trump. There's the Antichrist, Antichrist, Antichrist. The media joins in over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. But look, a couple of years ago, they were friends. Now, Chuck Schumer either believes it or doesn't, I don't know, but Chuck Schumer doesn't have the option at this point in time. The idol has been held up in front of the communists for so long that Chuck Schumer doesn't have the option of pointing towards the idol and say, you know, maybe that policy isn't bad. Even something benign like that, something totally benign, it's denied to Chuck Schumer because the idol has been bored into the minds of American Democrats, cemented, seared, if you will, into the minds of American Democrats for so long that Donald Trump is the Antichrist, he's Hitler, he's the height of all evil. It's happened for so long that now they constantly make themselves look ridiculous because they have no other choice but to oppose everything he does. And it gives Donald Trump a tremendous freedom to wrong foot Democrats tremendously, because he can take any issue. If there's an 80-20 issue, he can get on the 80% side of it and have the vast majority of Americans with him. And Democrats, because the idol's been held up for so long, Democrats will oppose it and oppose it loudly, even if it makes no logical sense, no political sense. You saw this during the speech. We discussed it after the speech. It's not Trump talking about the tariffs or the border or something like that. Donald Trump says, hey, look at this kid. Cute as a button. Survives brain cancer. How cool is that? Hey, we're going to make him a member of the Secret Service. What a cool moment. Democrats sat there on their hands. Politically, even if you're a heartless monster, politically, that's just dumb. You look horrible, but they can't help themselves. And the tranny stuff is a great example of this. In fact, there's another one. There's an example of this out of Georgia, which I will discuss here in just a moment. Before I discuss that, I'm going to talk to you about getting your dog to live longer. You ever looked at your dog and done what Ob does with Fred? I don't want him to die, even though he's only 4 years old. She's already thinking about it. It's going to be horrible when that fluffy moron isn't there anymore. And that's what Rough Greens is to me. I don't have to sit back and wonder if Rough Greens has been good for Fred, the natural nutritional supplement that we sprinkle on his food. We've seen such a difference in him. People comment on his coat. His coat gets so much shinier. His energy levels are so much better. He doesn't have digestive problems after every meal. Rough Greens isn't something you have to hope works. You'll see differences in your dog. Whether you have a young dog, old dog, keep them around longer with Rough Greens. free Jumpstart trial bags. And remember, they have it for cats too. Meow Greens, if you have a cat, you want that for your cat. Free Jumpstart trial bags at 833-33-MY-DOG, or you can go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about with Democrats next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.